This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let me ask you a couple things that we were talking about. I got to bounce around here with you.
Yep.
We were talking in the first segment about LeBron James, the tip-in last night.
Yeah, great.
I'm attributing that to high basketball IQ to know that you have a millisecond to tip in and get your hand off that ball because they're going to look at it frame by frame. Crowder says that's a typical putback. He happened to be in the right spot, right time. Anyone can do that, right, Crowder? I'm not mischaracterizing
it. He boxed out his player and just tipped the ball back in. That wasn't an amazing play.
But I'm saying to know that the tip-in, there's 1/10 of a second left on the clock after the missed shot by Luka, to know that it can't be your typical make sure you lay it in, let's let Coach Larrañaga decide.
Well, my initial reaction when hearing it during the first segment was, you're both right. First of all, players, you know, especially the great players, they have a clock in their head as to how much time is left in the game and what they should be thinking. And, you know, when the shot goes up, LeBron knows there's so little time left that either shot goes in or you tip it in. You don't have time, obviously, to do this. Come down with a very strong rebound and power it up and still make it, you know, a game-winning shot. No, you're going to have to tip this in if there's even time left. So it becomes very much an instinct, something that you've done over and over again. Okay, the game's winding down. We need this bucket. If the shot doesn't go in, I'm tipping this in. So LeBron did a great job.
Who do you think they were talking about this? They were debating this on ESPN. I think it was yesterday morning. Who goes further in the playoffs? Golden State with Steph and Jimmy, or the Lakers with LeBron and Luka?
Yeah. Yeah. Do you know, one of the things about trades and everything, you're wondering how they'll work out. I think the Lakers are probably very well suited for a long series. I think Steph and Jimmy Butler figuring that out. I like the Lakers' chances better. I think the Golden State Warriors have enough talent, but in a long series, I think you can figure it out. I think that the talent of a LeBron with Luka is going to pay dividends for the Lakers.
And, Coach, with the age of those guys, because it's funny, we love LeBron. LeBron's 40. Me and LeBron are the same age. We're 40-plus. And Steph's old as hell, too, Coach. Like, That dynamic of those guys having this grinding season, how does Steve Kerr, how do they deal with it? You know, like with that, the AIDS thing, and you know, the, what's it called? The load management and all that stuff. But yeah, to that question with Hawkware, it's like, hey, these dudes are old as well. They're going to play another 12 game, 15 games, 21 games. Like, how do they deal with that, with those players that are, I would say, in the sunset of their career?
Yeah, that's why, that's one of the things, because the playoffs are a long grind. And Jimmy Butler's not a young guy anymore either. So Luka Doncic, no, he's still a youngster. He's like 25, 26 years old. So I think that's an advantage. I think in the playoffs, though, one of the differences is you get time off in between games. You know, you're not playing back to back. You're not jumping on your jet and flying to the next location. So I think for the older guys, they can manage their time and their bodies better during the playoffs. But as the playoffs continue, it's going to take its toll. I think LeBron he's a superhuman. I mean, there's nobody in the history of basketball at 40 years old. You know, Kareem played until I think he was 42. But Kareem had his own unique style of play. LeBron does everything. You know, he's handling the ball. He's shooting threes. He's driving to the basket. He's playing defense all over the court, switching on to smaller guards. So I think the Lakers are in good position to make a run.
Coach, there's this constant debate, probably a larger discussion, but about the state of basketball. Mid-range is almost discouraged, especially at the NBA level. It's all driving kick, hunt for mismatches, get to the rim, and shoot corner threes. Do you have any concerns about the state of the game, or how it's evolved, or how it's evolving?
Well, I think the game itself is pretty healthy. I think there's going to be, you know, some discussion about rule changes at the college level. I will be very surprised if the college game doesn't go to four quarters soon, because no other basketball league plays halves. The women play four quarters. Europe plays four quarters. The NBA plays four quarters. G League plays four quarters. So I wouldn't be surprised if we go to four quarters and a 24-second clock. I think that'll be typical. But I'm very, very concerned about college basketball becoming professional basketball without having the professional basketball guidelines, the rules. I think if college basketball is going to survive the NIL and the portal, they need to have a really specific set of rules, antitrust rules, laws that allow colleges to have some transparency. It's great that the kids are being paid. They should make a salary. It should be employment, just like an NBA guy.
And, Coach, Slana, it's crazy you asked that question, because I thought about it last night. Last night, Coach, I was watching Bol Bol, who's 8'9" somewhere, and he kept shooting from the outside. Yeah. Are big guys like Kendall? Is there big guys ever again? Like, it's funny what you bring up, Kareem. Like the Kareems, the Shaqs, the guys that get down there and grind in the paint, is that gone from basketball? Because threes are more points than twos, obviously.
Well, you know, three is more than two, but the whole key is the ball going in the basket. You know, Solana said that, you know, the mid-range games is you know, non-existent anymore. Well, if you make a foul line jump shot, that's 2 points. You make a layup, it's 2 points. Now, if you hit the three, okay, you get an extra point for that. But I think, like, I work with my grandsons. I talk to my grandsons. I talk to my college players throughout. I think you should have an all-around game. Your game should include threes, free throws, mid-range shots, driving layups, back to the basket. Big guys don't want to play with their back to the basket. The big guys want to shoot threes. They're envious of the guards because the guards bring the ball up and just jack a three. Big guys want to do that. And it's become the popular thing to do, and it's all because of analytics. All the analytics experts say, hey, you should shoot more threes because a three is worth more than two. Well, that's great if you make them. But the other day, I can't remember, I think it was St. John's versus Arkansas. both teams went like 2 for 19 from three. Oh, but I know you guys, hey, Crowder, I know you're pulling for the Gators today, huh? They got a big matchup with the Terps. Solana's got the Terps. So my really good friend, Ralph Willard, his son is the coach. Kevin Willard is the coach of the Maryland Terrapins. But I'm an in-state Florida guy, so the Gators, nah. So here's my response.
Come on, coach.
Yeah, I want them both to lose.
Just pulled the rug out from under you.
Come on, coach.
Just completely pulled the rug.
The only team I ever cheer for is Miami. Yeah. No, everybody else can lose.
You have to. I mean, it was really almost 2 years ago to the day that the Sweet 16 started, and you ended up taking the Hurricanes to the Final Four. Does it feel like a lifetime ago? Does it feel like 2 years ago? Does it still give you chills thinking about it?
No, it feels like today, because when you flip on the social media, I was watching the highlights of our win over Houston and over Texas to get to the Final Four. I was reliving the whole scenario and loving it. The announcers, yes, listening to the excitement in the place, watching our players jump on each other and smile. One of the players giving me a kiss on the cheek. I was like, this is awesome.
That was heaven. That was absolute heaven. You know,
and coach, as they're going through it, you've been through it. Like you say, you've been to the Final Four. Like, the build up to it, the players, the coaching, what does it go through to go to the 32, to the 16, to the 8, to the 4? Like, what's that process mentally and physically on the kids?
Yeah, I think that the biggest thing, and this is an expression all coaches use, mental is to physical as 4 is to 1. Meaning the mental part of the game is 4 times more important than the physical. Every team in the Sweet 16 today is physically talented enough to win tonight and tomorrow. But how are you mentally? Are you feeling good? Are you going to be able to control your emotions? If you saw in the game the other day where emotions that both teams were feeling, one team is celebrating and the other team is just shot. I mean, just the fire went out. They can't believe they're no longer playing. And after you win 2 national championships in a row, you can understand their emotion. You know, you can understand players crying, coaches upset. You know, it's just the nature. It's what makes March Madness the best sporting event for 3 weeks in the world.